waste too much time. I feel like when a new podcast launches, a hit new podcast launches, they just waste a bunch of time fiddly farting around.
Oh, yeah. This whole, like, preamble, like, getting way too, like, let's not build it up. Let's just get right into it.
Right. I don't want to assume that this is the only episode of this podcast that people ever listen to. And that we have to, like, get a bunch of stuff out of the way. I want us to, like, get to the meat, the heart of the matter. We can introduce ourselves. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
We work for Polygon. But we're getting into a new business now. Mm-hmm. We're not just like looking at playing, talking about games and then shitting all over them.
No, we are shitting on them way earlier in the process now. We figured we could cut out the middleman.
Well, I think it would be helpful for us in our career as critics to create the things upon which are shitted.
That's true. We don't really have any point of reference for how hard it is to conceptualize and really create a video game.
But my assumption is it's wicked easy.
That's what I mean, based on just the suggestions we've already gotten, I'm feeling like it's not going to be too tough, but let's see.
We don't have a name for this podcast yet. I suggested Dr. Polygon's Game Clinic.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of went out of my way to not give you a yes or a no on that and kind of let you reach your own conclusion. It's kind of... I guess I'd reflect it back at you and say, are you happy with that name?
I think no.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we were taking games that existed that we decided were sick and then we treated them medically?
That's true. Like, that would be a different show about taking bad games and repairing
making
them
good. That's right. If anything, we are the wet nurses, the midwives of game created game ideas.
I think there's something to that. We're the game midwives, right?
That's bad. That's also a bad name.
With a game epidural.
It'll come to us.
All right, we'll get there.
Apparently, it's going to take us a while because everything we've got so far is absolute dumpster fuel.
I think
this
podcast, just like with a child, like not everyone names their child on day one or even week five. You can just kind of wait
that's
a little
true.
Bit. Pat it out.
Yeah. My parents landed on Griffin when I was like six. And before that, I was actually Nick, which is weird. They just decided it was an inferior. Yeah.
I was boy one because my parents, I don't know why, they kind of knew that there was going to be more boys down the pipe. And so they called me boy one.
Well, then let me hit you with this for a potential podcast title, boy one and boy two.
I like that. It's got a seussical thing that I think I wasn't expecting going into this.
Is Game Boys taken?
I think as long as we make the S capital to make it really clear that it has nothing to do with Game Boys as a like the Game Boy, I think.
Well, I was thinking it would be Game Boys capital S and then TM.
Game Boystem. So it's like the trademark thing, but like embedded into the title itself?
No, it would be the actual trademark. And it would also be the same font as the Game Boy.
Okay.
And also it would be called Nintendo's Game Boys is the name of the podcast.
All right, I've got a category. I've got two lists here of pros and cons, and some of these things are actually making it easier for this to be the title, and some of them are actually making it way, way harder.
What's making it easier? Let's focus on the positives.
Okay, the S is really helping me out. The TM is actually a little bit of both, because it almost, to the outside observer, it might look like we're referencing an existing trademark, which...
That's a great point.
Which kind of, if anything, that's incriminating us. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah, yeah. This is all great stuff. Let's get to the hard work of making games.
So, I know we don't want too much to preamble here, but we went ahead and put out the call on twitter.com for people to submit their sort of one-linery micro ideas for games that we could really, because they can do that part, right? They'll just provide us with the seeds, and then we will be the...
It's not so much seeds, though, is it? It's like a big old pile of dirt, and we're gonna scoop our we're gonna run our slurry through it, and then we're gonna slop out some gold nugs.
These are a lot of farming onomatopoeias that I think people outside of West Virginia might not be familiar with.
I was doing gold panning, not farming.
Oh.
You don't like use slurry in farming.
You're right. So slop is which part of the gold panning process?
That's like where you get your schlummer in there and you dip it down deep into that grime. Ooh. And then you shimmy it around.
Have we decided if this is going to be, we're going to put the explicit tag on this podcast yet? Or?
It's not explicit to say the word schlummer.
Mm. That's one of those words where I think if you bleeped it, it would actually make the podcast explicit. But if you don't bleep it, it's okay.
Yeah, I think we're in the clear.
Okay.
So we have a bunch of dirt that you guys sent in and we're gonna seek out that gold nug. I would like to maybe focus on just a single game idea per episode.
Ooh, okay.
But like, I think we can like talk about all the stuff that has come in. No kidding. Since we started, like 30 more have come in.
It's so,
like,
unreal.
Yeah. So I think we dig through it and then we you know, pick the one nug that we want to really put our back effort into polishing. You know, our back effort?
Yeah, you know, the effort of our backs. They say lift with your back, and that's what we'll do.
And that's what we're going to do. I do want to say, like, should we, like, legally protect our asses right now? Not only because the name of the podcast is Nintendo's Game Boys, but also, like, what if we polish up one of these turds into something, like, really, really wonderful and magical, and then the next morning I wake up, and it's like, Gearbox Software presents Nick and Griffin's Totally Sick Idea, brought to you by a Twitter person. And
Gearbox
then
presents Pokemon 2, and we're like, damn it, that was
damn
ours.
It. And then, like, the Twitter person sues us, we sue Gearbox, Gearbox sues just Randy Pitchford, I guess.
My understanding is that as long as each of us is suing a different person in the triangle, it is effectively null. It nullifies the entire proceeding.
If Randy sues the original Twitter person, then it's a tie. It's a no contest.
So you're saying we sue Randall. Mm-hmm. Randall sues Twitter user. Twitter
I think it's Randolph.
Randolph.
Yeah. It's always the original name of the studio was Dolph's Kids.
Dolph's Games.
Dolph's Games. Let's get into it.
All right.
I don't even know how to get into it. I said that, but there's like a billion.
There's literally hundreds. I was expecting us to have like seven, and then we'd use three.
No, we're at about 350 right now.
Yikes.
Yikes, yikes. Like a lot of these are good, like genuinely good ideas.
Mm-hmm. Like this one, for example. This one says too many mummies. Jay Emerton says too many mummies. There's a bunch of mummies.
Yeah, pack and ship it. But too many mummies. It's got the fucking title of the game there.
He figured out the name of his game faster than we figured out the name of our podcast.
And that's gonna be like a part of the show, right? Like I don't just want to come up with a core a central nugget. And I apologize for how many times I'm saying the word nugget. I guess I'm nervous. But I want to come up with like a title, subtitle. Like marketing materials. Like I don't want to design a game that's going to be a flop, you know? Like I don't want to design like a creative masterpiece that then doesn't sell.
You're saying at the end of each episode we have a full design doc ready to go out the door.
Yes. I also don't want to design a bad game that we market too good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we don't want to pick the wrong nugget.
I want to land somewhere in between Molyneux and Madden.
Okay, that's...
Because John Madden makes all of the Madden games,
I guess. That's a widespread, huh?
It's a pretty widespread, actually, now that I think about it. That's a
kind of the two extremes on the both ends of the spectrum.
That's a big pair of uprights that we can clear to continue using football words. Sam Hearn said, a freaking dog that can talk? Again, like, pack it, ship it. I'm imagining, like, Nintendogs meet Seaman, you know what I mean? And we get fucking Bruce Willis to do all the voices of all the dogs. I guess I put a little bit of my own stink on that one.
Yeah.
A little bit of my own English on that ball. But I think it was pretty much good to go from the start. I feel like Sam like got the ball to the 95-yard line.
Right.
And then I kept running it the rest of the 5 yards to continue saying football things.
Do you think that – because clearly the tone of this is that it's impressive that the dog can talk, right? And how is the excitement about – how novel this is going to be communicated in the game design.
You teach the dog to talk, and then you get end to read, and then you have an edgy game thing happening there. But it's also like a pet simulator. So like if you teach it to read too much and you forget to feed it, it dies. And then like, yeah, it can read a book, but it's dead now. So kind of wasted effort a little bit.
It's kind of an art game.
And it's kind of an art game too, because it's all about balancing life and work, and I think I would call it work life, the talking dog simulator.
Perfect.
That was an easy one.
Wow, that was
we knocked that shit out in like a minute and a half. I want a meteor.
Yeah,
bone
see, that's one of those situations where the kernel we were given, the nugget, if you will, was so potent.
Oh, it was good. Yeah,
we weren't even needed here. They did not need to call the doctors in for this. Mike Cosimano says, Ace Attorney, but you work at a fast food restaurant, and you're proving to seniors that this is what they actually ordered.
That could be pretty good. I don't know. What would the gameplay be? Because in Ace Attorney, you have like clues and stuff that you discover doing your investigations.
Right.
And I don't know how you would prove to an old person, no. Listen, unless you like videotaped them doing each order. And then maybe you could have some function. Okay, so then it's like Pokemon Snap.
Right.
You have to film and capture in frame each old person as they make their restaurant at when their fast food order.
It's got like that MGS5 like directional mic where if you point it at their old mouth, you're getting every word that they're saying. But sometimes there'll be multiple olds ordering at the same time.
Yes.
And that's tricky.
And if you do good enough, their clothes fall off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. get an S.
That was pretty good. But again, I feel like we solved it really quickly.
Once again, these aren't hard enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Zach C says, you're inside the game. That's a pretty good starting point.
Now, that's very broad, but I kind of like that because I feel like there's a lot of fertile ground that we can kind of fill in the blanks ourselves there.
My kitty is outside of my office window meowing. That's not a game suggestion. I'm telling you, I have to go for a second to get the kitty.
All right.
I've returned.
All right.
Ben Esposito suggests Grandma Wants It Al Dente.
Okay, I love that because that's not even a pitch. That's just a title, and then the rest is up to us.
I don't think it has to be a title. I think it can be the pitch. Okay. Grandma Wants It Al Dente, talking about some sort of pasta. So multiple playable characters, a shaman turns you into a type of pasta. Maybe you're farfal. Maybe you're spaghetti. Maybe you're fettuccine. Maybe you're angel hair. That's all the pastas I know.
Okay. But I'm those liking are different spaghetti playable. And angel hair. Spaghetti level one, angel hair level two.
I see. I think that they're discrete classes. Because then you add, we're already baking in some replay value into the game. So different multiple playable classes. Each one is a different type of pasta. The dungeon you're exploring is a pot of boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're in there, you're floating around getting cooked and stuff, getting stronger, right? You're getting experience. You're getting boiled, and then in doing so, gaining levels
so,
and stuff.
Quick point of clarification. Are you the noodle? Are you the water?
Yes. Maybe. Okay.
Because what you're describing is Grandma Wants You Al Dente, which is not exactly what we were pitched on.
Well, it can be from multiple points of view.
Mm-hmm.
You're the shaman, then.
Mm-hmm. You keep saying shaman.
I'm worried that maybe the Skype call broke up a bit when I first sort of introduced the shaman into the equation.
Yeah, no, I heard it both times, but I maybe didn't grok it completely.
Okay, all right. Let's start from the beginning.
Got it. From the top.
You're a pasta shaman.
All right, of course.
And your grandma, who is also the leader of your tribe, wants it al dente. And the only way that you know how to ensure that it gets cooked good is... you sort of inhabit a pasta, right? And that's where the multiple playable characters come into play. Maybe you can collect the different types of pasta. Just spoiler alert for the, like, throughout the fullness of time in this podcast, I'm going to try and get collectible, like, monster mechanics in every game. Cause it's like, that's fucking money.
I don't want to get us too off track here, but how old's grandma? Just to give me some color, like.
79.
Okay, so how old is the shaman? Because when I picture a shaman, they're already pretty old, and you're telling me that this shaman's mom's mom is still
this is a
50-year-old kicking.
This is Okay, well, this is a. I mean, we got to make it relatable to what's the market like the age. That's the kind of thing we're gonna get to when we get to like the marketing plan.
Yeah.
Right, because we want it to be like, we want it to be a pretty sexy shaman.
Obviously, first of all, like, redundant.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. We'll say early to mid-20s.
Okay, got it.
That's too old, isn't it? No, you sounded like you didn't like it.
I like it. I like that. We've got a 22-year-old sexy shaman.
Pasta shaman. So multiple playable characters, which are the different types of pasta, and each one has like different dungeons in the boiling pot of water. So you have to like do stuff to, it's like roguelike dungeon exploration while you're in the pot of boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gaining levels, you're getting stronger, and then... you, the shaman, decide when the noodles come out, right? But you don't want to come out too early because then you do have to fight the grandma. She is the final boss of the game. But if you are cooked too much and you're not al dente anymore, then the grandma will refuse to eat you in the first place and you lose. So it's like a tightrope, like a balancing
act. Totally. I mean, I know a lot of roguelikes will have that kind of push-pull, like, mechanic of, like, risk and reward where you can keep pushing further into the dungeon, but you could risk it all. And in this game, you're constantly weighing that with how long have I been cooking these bad boys? Are they getting too wet? Is there going to be a mechanic for testing the current firmness of the noodles? Like throw it against the wall.
The shaman can scoop out a noodle and throw it at the wall, but that's going to actually deplete your vitality in the dungeon itself.
What if there's a button you can press at any time to check the firmness of a noodle, but the shaman reaches in and pulls a random item from your inventory?
Oh,
that
shit,
that's
good.
Permanently.
Yeah, that's really good.
Mm.
That's really, really good too. Now, let's talk about sauce.
Okay.
I'm imagining a multi-screen experience.
Are you talking like a second screen experience? Like a in the lap?
I'm imagining smart glass.
Okay.
It'll be the world's fucking first smart glass game. And the second player using smart glass has just been farming this whole time.
Right.
And growing tomatoes and oregano and garlic and the like.
It's a real Farmville situation.
Yeah, but it's like a speedrun Farmville because you only have as long as the pasta player has. So, like, they don't know how long the pasta player is going to be able to survive. So they're trying to make as good a sauce as they can. And as we all know, the secret to a good sauce is letting her stew.
Yeah, letting it keep cooking. So there's going to be, I feel like your living room is going to turn into a very kitchen-like environment of like, hey, we got 5 minutes on the tomatoes here. And everyone's yelling at each other.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of communication, which
I like. But it's like, I can't last another 5 minutes mm-hmm. in this fucking treacherous boiling water dungeon.
Right.
Also, I'm going to be way overcooked and grandma's going to refuse to eat me.
Yeah. I can imagine me yelling at my girlfriend, like, what's the title of the game? It's yeah. called Grandma Likes It Al Dente. You know why it's called that?
Yeah.
Because Grandma likes it al dente.
Well, it's Grandma wants it al dente. I think maybe we could even go one step further and call it Grandma needs it al dente.
Oh, that's hard. I feel like that's the when you're on hard mode. That's she will not accept. I feel like depending on the difficulty you choose, her tolerance of pasta that is in either direction of too firm yeah. or too soft will it'll kind of be looser.
Yeah, I guess her teeth are synthetic,
mm-hmm.
and they can only handle a certain. Texture of pasta,
which in a lot of ways makes her the perfect critic of pasta.
Yeah. So it'll be like a cooking game in which she eats the pasta and you want it to taste good because it's your grandma, but also you are still the pasta, and so you are going to have to fight her. And I guess we haven't really talked about like combat controls yet,
right? Well, specifically it's all building up to this boss battle.
Yeah, a climactic boss fight. I imagine each run of Grandma Wants It Al Dente or Grandma Needs It Al Dente would probably last you like 10-15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's sort of like a short form party game. Something along the Vlambeer sort of milieu.
Okay, yeah.
But it still doesn't get us any closer to like turn based combat seems like it's a little would be a little rote.
I think this is real time. I think it's you know the leap motion? That little it's this little device you put on your desk and it can track your fingers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm saying you're controlling 10 discrete noodles
oh,
and you're
God.
Trying to weave them through and around grandma's teeth
to make her fucking choke on whole noodles.
Well, I mean,
is it well okay? No, let's do this thing.
There's a good.
Let's
ending
see
and a
this
bad
through
ending,
to
right?
its logical conclusion. In this fight with the grandma, are you trying to kill her? Is the end goal to make sure that she dies or that like she eats a great bowl of pasta and is satisfied by it?
I mean, I think I want
pasta.
I kind of want the player to decide. Like, you've put in all this work to get these noodles perfect. Are you really willing to give them all up? Is your own survival more important? So if you can masterfully dodge all of her dentures,
yeah.
go right down
well,
the
careful now. We don't. I'm worried the dentures and like al dente, like it's going to be like people are going to like get them confused.
Mm-hmm.
Because the words sound the same. We're on to something here, Nick.
I think this is the most in depth we've gone on an idea so far.
So we got a pasta roguelike called Grandma Likes It Al Dente. Grandma Needs It Al Dente.
Right.
Can it be both? Grandma wants it al dente. Grandma needs it al dente.
Because
then you read that first part and you're like, this game's gonna be great, and then you read the second part and you're like,
oh shit.
Oh
shit, yeah.
This is a job. this is an important responsibility.
I do like the colon because the subtitle is all of a sudden re-emphasizing the original title. And not a lot of people are brave enough to do that.
Yeah, not a lot of games have that. Like, but Bioshock Infinite, I don't think that one actually had a colon. Mm-hmm. Splinter Cell, Blacklist. Mm-hmm. Is that what it was called? What about this? What if it was like Call of Duty Black Ops 3, colon, no way, Black Ops 4.
Oh, yeah. Or,
just to let you know they did.
That's too much. I think Black Ops 3, colon, Black Ops 4.
Yeah.
That way you're not calling attention to it. You're just quietly upping the
ante. Yeah, you put the no wait. You see a colon. Every time I read a colon, like in a book or a poster or a medicine box, I always read it as no wait.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like going to like completely blow your fucking mind.
Do you think we, what do you think? Can we do one more?
Grandma Likes It Al Dente. Let's finish this up because
okay.
I have two more things that I want to talk about.
All right.
Grandma likes it al dente, colon, no way, grandma needs it al dente.
Mm-mm.
We got that. We got sort of the whole game mechanic. What we need is the heat. Like, we need what the heat is going to be that, like, every reviewer is going to talk about. Because right now, we have, like, a lot of ideas, and I'm worried that it's all going to get kind of lost in the shuffle.
It's sounding like a 7.0 right now is my concern. Like, there's a
it's
lot of
mechanics,
but it's sounding
like a 7.0. What can we add to it? That is going to be the thing that is definitely going to show up in every review and is like going to get people talking about it, going to get like a lot of people excited about it.
Are you thinking like a, do you, like, is it a mechanic? Is it a big name?
Yeah, whatever, whatever. Smart glass integration is fine, except I feel like nobody knows what the fuck that is or what it means.
Until this game, right? Like, we're gonna put...
No, this game's gonna put it on the map. I'm not worried about... That's a lock. The next game we design can use that as the marketing material. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, it's got smart glass, just like Grandma likes it al dente. No way Grandma needs it al dente.
Mm-hmm. Just real quickly to go back, it's Grandma likes it al dente, colon, Grandma needs it al dente. We're not spelling it out.
Yeah, no, that's the title of the game.
Good. I'm just putting my foot down on this, because it's got to be just first one, second one. No, there's no wait.
What if the graphics were very good?
Okay. Didn't think of that.
And that could be something that every critic talks about. My favorite thing about Grandma likes it al dente, colon, Grandma needs it al dente. Those graphics are very good.
The good graphics. Pros, good graphics.
And you don't see that on the box anymore, do you?
Well, it's all about, like, immersive. It's 2016, right?
Yeah.
Like, every game has good graphics. I think what we need are graphics that are so good that they're actually like a spiritual experience, or they're bending the metaphysical laws of time and space. Like, the graphics are so good that you feel like you're looking at your grandma. Like, it is your grandma.
Well, oh shit. Okay, that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother kettle of fish. Face scan technology. We borrow the NBA 2K perfectly realized face scan engine. Put your grandma in the game. So that's going on the fucking box. Put your grandma in the game. Put your real grandma in the game.
Well, I'm saying, I think the way we do it, though, is we make it a mandatory mechanic, which none of those other games have done. Like, this is a...
Grandma face DRM.
Yes, I'm saying you want to put your grandma in the game. You need to put your grandma in the game, or we won't let you buy it.
Okay.
Because I feel like for that final moment to really land, for it to really emotionally connect, that this is your grandma's life on the line, it needs to be your grandma's life on the line.
Yes. Bullet points on the box. 31 playable pastas.
Mm-hmm.
Bullet point 2, put your grandma in the game. Bullet point 3, grandma required.
Yep. Parenthetical.
If both of your parents' moms are gone, don't buy this game. Because you're going to be trading it right back into the electronics boutique.
I do like that the back of this box is going to have a lot of caveats. It's like, you need a Windows Surface, you need a Kinect, you need a Leap Motion, and you need a high-res 1400 by 1600 pixel photo of your grandma.
And a living grandma. No. Can't be a picture. I'm going to put my foot down right here. The technology's not good enough yet. It has to be a real, real grandma face.
Okay.
Your grandma's going to have to come over. And then grandmas are going to love it, right? Because you buy this for your grandson. All of a sudden, you've got to hang out with them.
You've got an in with your grandson, yeah.
You've got an in with your grandchild. I think this game, we're going to market it towards everybody. But I think grandmas are just going to go crazy about it because it guarantees at least one hang sesh with your grandchildren while they scan you into the game before they can play this amazing AAA experience.
Right. Most grandmas, when they buy their son a game or their grandson a game, they don't get that. They hobble into the store and they're like, "Oh, take the Call of Duty, please."
Yeah, no. They're going to see this and be like, "Wait, I'm a grandma." And then they're going to read the bullet points on the back and be like, "This is perfect. This is a guaranteed hang sesh."
Well, I mean, I think we really integrate this into the marketing. I think we slap a fat sticker on the front that's like guaranteed
extra hang
15
sesh.
Minutes with your your son's son.
Well, we got to be careful, though, because we got to make sure that those particular boxes are only going in front of grandparent eyes.
Okay. How do we
do that? Because if a grandchild sees that, they're going to be like, fuck that. No way. My grandma's really boring.
Mm-hmm.
Not that my grandma's really boring. My grandmother is a firecracker. But, you know, I feel like the average youth doesn't really treasure their...
You're saying the mean grandma is a mean grandma.
No. Every grandma is going to see this sticker and be like, yep, guaranteed purchase, guaranteed hang sesh, yes. I'm saying the grandchildren are going to see that and be like, I don't want to hang out with my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
No way. So they won't buy the game. We got to make sure that, like, if we put that sticker on the game, it is only at electronics boutiques close to, like old people homes.
Sure.
It's going to take a lot of, like, really, really specific marketing.
I almost think it would be worth doing, because I don't think this has been explored very much, is having maybe 5 or 6 separate versions of the box art. Depending on the market.
Yeah. And like, so for the kids, it'll be like...
It'll be like the...
Very good graphics.
Yeah. It says very good graphics in the corner. On the cover is a shadowy figure that vaguely looks like a grandma that's like looking down. And
she's holding a gun.
Yeah,
she's
arms crossed on the chest with a gun in each hand. Basically the Black Ops.
Yeah, well, she would have to have her back turned in that case, and you just sort of see the outline of a gun that she's holding, and she's looking over her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Maybe she's standing on a big plate of spaghetti?
Sure. I think we should also, just to cover our asses legally, I think we put a small, very small asterisk next to the gun, indicating that there may or may not be a gun anywhere in the game.
Yeah, because that's how, like, just sort of visual, that's just how art works. Like, mm-hmm. if there's an asterisk next to a thing on a like a poster, then you know that may or may not be in the thing.
It's qualified in some way, I think.
Right. It's like how in all the Star Wars posters, they had lightsabers, but there's an asterisk next to all the lightsabers, and then there weren't any fucking lightsabers in the movie, which I still think is
weird.
Like, really weird.
Weird twist.
But it was like, I got really angry, but then I went and took a close look at the poster. There's an asterisk all over that thing.
In hindsight, yeah, you probably should have known.
Okay, I think that's a good heat. I think guaranteed Hank Sesh for the grandparents. For grandkids, I think that, like, if I was a grandson, just a little boy,
right?
I love my grandmas. I would have found
this is before you were Griffin, right? Before you were named formally,
right. I was five, so I was still Nick. I would have jumped at the opportunity. I would have found the opportunity to scan my grandma's face into a video game, just very seductive.
Mm-hmm. Can you, we don't really need to edit it out or anything, but if you could say that sentence again and end it on a different word, I think it would, because this is the first episode and everything, and I don't want to necessarily.
When I was a little boy, if I could have scanned my grandma's face into a video game, mm-hmm. I would have found that opportunity very seductive. I couldn't think of another word.
Okay.
So I did it again.
I guess we'll just cut this whole bit then.
I think we got a pretty good, who are we going to try and get to make this thing?
I was thinking,
I feel like 2K is a good match just because they have that face scan tech.
They do.
From that, again, works perfectly 100% of the time for their sport titles.
Mm-hmm.
But fucking Tony Hawk Underground also had it, except you had to like put a floppy disk into your computer that you took a picture on with like one of those old floppy disk digital cameras and then like email it to a website.
Yeah, I remember doing it in the PSP version and having to send an email somewhere to get those faces.
It worked though. It worked 100% of the time. It
did work very well. In terms of a developer, I was thinking, and this is like, obviously we're still in the concepting stage.
There's no bad ideas.
Yeah. So this might be, tell me if you think this is unrealistic. I was thinking it would be really good from a branding perspective if we could find a game developer whose name is Al Dente.
That's actually a pretty bad idea.
Mm.
I mean, I can do like a quick like Google search, but I can't, that's a really tricky needle to thread. First of all, you're assuming this is going to be like a solo indie proj?
Sure.
Like, and not like a big, but see, I was thinking AAA. Maybe we could get a creative director named Al Dente.
That's what I'm saying, is a studio head or some guy high in the ranks who's going to be the one doing the interviews, the forward-facing guy for the whole press cycle.
Sort of a Ken Levine figure.
Yes, yeah.
Can we just get Ken Levine to change his name to Albert Dente?
I think that's the easiest way to do it, because if we tell him Al Dente, he's like, that's stupid, that's a pasta thing, I'm not going to call myself that. But if we tell him it's Albert Dente...
No, he's easily tricked.
What's the big idea? No big whoop.
Okay, so, again, we're going to get Ken Levine. Is he going to develop it? He's not going to be a solo developer. We're going to get him to do it with... Although his team is pretty small now, yeah? He's onto that new thing. I don't know that they would handle the... Maybe.
We slip him enough bucks, I think we could get him... So maybe jump ship, head over to 2K.
Well, speaking of the bucks, so 2K is going to publish then.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is probably the best idea.
I think this is probably one of the best ideas that that there is.
I think this is definitely the best idea we've had so far.
Yeah.
So, Nick, we've got a pretty good nug here.
Mm-hmm.
We've polished it. It's shiny. It has a nice sheen to it. Mm. I feel like it's going to be a big success, but I think we need an outside... consultant,
right?
An outside opinion, somebody that we can pay, I don't know, probably low five figures, which is like a pretty big investment. Like, I don't know how much cash you've got on hand.
Yeah, I mean, for this first one, I think I'm willing to pay whatever it takes to make sure that we've got a solid, that we did a solid.
Yeah, you got to spend that money to get that, to get the rest of that money back. Hopefully, God, just hopefully, just break even.
Hmm.
So we got Polygon's Chris Grant, Polygon's dad, basically.
Basically, Polygon.
In a lot
dad.
Of ways, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with that?
I got real old in the last couple of years, so I'm comfortable with it.
I'm not saying like you're a dad like figure. I'm saying you literally, you're the dad of Polygon.
There's
Chris.
Let me speak for Griffin here for a second. We're still really feeling this podcast out, but there's definitely a theme of birth yeah, and of child rearing, like the rebirth, physical act of child rearing that's going to keep occurring.
Like a spiritual renewal.
This is good. This is good. Well, boys, I've got my cardigan on and I'm ready to see your project.
It's funny that you say boys because you don't actually know it, but I think the title of the project is going to be Nintendo's Game Boys.
Okay, good. This is good. This feels...
You've been in touch with our legal team more than Nick and I have.
Yeah.
Do you think are we cool?
The legal team's already told me to disavow all knowledge of this product. So. Okay.
All right, that's perfect then. Sure. So we got a game pitch and we're going to bounce it off you and we want your honest opinion. I swear to God, Chris, if you pull any punches, we'll let us like continue this project to fruition, to completion, to its climax. And then we lose our shirts because you pulled punches.
All right, I just in terms of pulling things, let's hold back on climaxing and having shirts off.
Okay, that's a terrific point.
Yep, mm-hmm.
That's what I was gonna say.
Nick, do you wanna? I'm so excited right now. I'm like shaking.
Yeah,
I don't know how to start pitching this thing.
Okay, so I think this is tapping into something that I think you, Chris, have wanted for a while to see from games.
Okay,
yes, we've all wanted to see it for a long time in games.
Sorry, I'm trying to find the exact tweet that kicked this off.
Well, no. Don't start with the tweet. This is a sales pitch. So I don't.
Elevator pitch.
I want to get to the bigger ideas a bit later, I want to start with sort of the fundamental building.
Not a pure recap. All right.
Imagine sort of a hybrid genre. Sort of there's roguelike and RPG elements in it. So I think if we put this thing on Steam, it's going to do really well based on the genres that it encapsulates. If you're not into that, there's some cooking elements, some farming and cooking elements in there too.
It's kind of a game for everyone, right?
Like kind of a game for everybody.
The
yes. game,
it's got the, there's a Farmville element to it. There's a, people who love the Windows Surface line of products are really going to get a lot out of it, I think.
Nick's jumping the gun a bit, but yeah, there will be second screen smart glass functionality.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And to be specific, you said cooking elements. Are we making a distinction here between crafting? Are we talking like Cooking Mama style? I want to see some...
Cooking, yes, Cooking Mama. Again, multi-genre. On that second screen, there's going to be... One person is going to be playing a hardcore RPG roguelike. The other player is going to be playing a farming and cooking game.
Mm-hmm.
But one is not more important than the other. Because both of them... In both of them, and Chris, here it comes.
Whoa.
You're making a pasta dish.
Huh.
Specifically... I'm so excited. Nick, do you want to tell him why you're making a pasta dish?
Yeah. So, you are making a pasta dish for your grandmother. And I know you're thinking like, well, that's not even a video game. That's just life. That's every night.
Or you're thinking that sounds really easy.
Yeah.
Because my grandmother has very like broad tastes when it comes to pasta.
Mm-hmm.
She'll eat anything. If it's noodly and it's got sauce in it, she'll eat it.
My grandma is a pasta hog. You put it in front of her,
she'll eat it.
She'll
no matter
shout
what.
Out.
Yeah.
But there's a specific set of circumstances with this grandmother. Grandma, and this is the title.
Really stick the landing
sit
here.
Sit down. Right? Grandma wants it al dente, : grandma needs it al dente.
Or if you prefer, grandma likes it al dente, : grandma needs it al dente.
Mm-hmm.
I was with you for a little while, and I thought the kind of like, somebody's playing Rust on the TV while somebody else is playing Cooking Mama on their Microsoft Surface.
You know what?
Less Rust, more of like a dungeon crawler where you are the pasta and you're exploring the dungeon, right? So you're going through. And now that you know that grandma definitely needs it al dente. By the way, can I just get a gut check on that title? Because like our idea was like it sort of establishes the terms of the game and then it establishes a sort of immediacy to it.
Right.
It's my first blush is I think a lot of players might not know al dente. They might think it's al dente, like a name.
It's funny that you mentioned that.
Because it's really funny you say that because we accounted for that in a way.
Sure.
We have a tentative plan to get...
I feel good about this plan. I feel like we're going to be able to get this thing...
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to be able to get this thing greenlit.
I think we will too. We're not putting all our eggs in this basket, but the tentative plan right now is to get Ken Levine on board.
Oh.
Maybe get him to sign some paperwork. Hopefully he doesn't read it too closely. Change his name to... Was it
Albert Dente?
And then all of a sudden we can push it to gamers as a Ken Levine game. We can push it to everyone else as an al dente game from al dente.
Yeah.
So sort of do
like when they announced Metal Gear Solid 5, but there was like a, you know, they're sure. doing all that weird head surgery shit, mm-hmm. but then you found out it was Kojima, and then later on, like, they probably wish they had just stuck to the head surgery stuff and not included his name in it at all, because then they took that treasure from him.
So you're trying to get a little bit of that Ken Levine flavor.
Yeah, Al Dente also is our Joaquin Mogren, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You like that? You like that?
I think I need a little more convincing.
So one player's playing a dungeon crawler roguelike. Okay. They are the pasta. They're trying to get cooked, right? And they're getting levels in there, right? They're getting stronger. They're getting levels. And they're fighting. You are actually a shaman that is controlling that pasta. You do like a shaman mind meld with that pasta. By the way, 31 playable pastas. So each time it's got some replay value. Mm. And you're in that dungeon. And you want to get stronger because at the end, you are going to fight the grandma. But you don't want to be too overcooked in that dungeon. If you spend too long, you get overcooked and the grandma won't eat you at all. Player on the second screen is making up a sauce.
And you kind of got two things to consider, right?
You got two things to consider.
You can keep proceeding down the dungeon, but A, it's going to get way harder. Dungeon, B, the boss is going to get real cooked.
And you're going to get overcooked. Like all that stuff that Nick said.
I think, Chris.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that I think you had a big opportunity here a couple years ago when Wii U launched, right? You got that asynchronous gameplay.
Nobody owns a Wii U.
But nobody owns a Wii U.
Yeah.
There's your strategy problem.
Yeah. I mean, we can talk to Nintendo. Like, God knows they love, like, putting out games that use their hardware.
I think if you got the right art design, ways. I think you got... Yeah.
The art design. Let's tell you about the art design. The graphics, Chris?
Yeah.
They're going to be very good.
Okay.
Something that's really important to the whole team. We sat down and we talked to everyone on board, and they decided... Yeah. We kind of put it to a vote. We decided on good graphics for this title.
So Ken actually had some pushback there, but I think we have convinced him.
Mm-hmm.
So
he'll bring it up in every other meeting or so. But I feel like that particular battle's won.
Using GamePro's 1-5 scale for graphics, yes. 5 being a real smiley guy, and then
this isn't up for debate. We didn't actually bring you on to ask you about the graphics. The graphics are going to be fucking.
They're going to be really good. Okay.
Yeah. Also, not only that, and this is a. This is a fucking masterstroke.
Yeah. So to back up a little tiny bit, wanted to go for a maximalist peripheral experience where you're using your iPad with the Smart Glass app. You're using a Leap Motion to control the individual noodles for the final boss battle. That peripheral, by the way, only works during the final boss battle with Grandma. We're going to be using a Kinect to scan your grandma, Chris, your grandma's face into the game.
It's going to be scanned into the game, and then it's your grandma.
She's dead.
Well, the game's not. If the game's not for you, you can find somebody else's grandma.
Okay,
right.
That will be like your way around it. But
so is that another point? Is it broad grandma compatibility?
Yeah, broad grandma compatibility. However, the game will not function until you have scanned in a grandma. It's the world's first grandma face DRM.
And we are uploading, as part of that DRM, we're uploading every grandma face to the cloud and cross-checking them. So if you try to use a grandma that's already been used...
I swear to God, if I see two grandmas, the same grandma on there twice, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Yeah. When you have a lot of grandmas that all have those big glasses that they wear over their glasses, you know, the sunglasses that go on top of the glasses, mm-hmm. what kind of facial algorithm detections do you have to...
The facial algorithm will be very good.
Okay, very good.
I mean, remember, the Kinect has an infrared sensor, so it's actually going to project through those glasses and map the face.
We're going to pierce a million grandma's faces with a billion points of radiant light, and then in doing so, we will know the faces. We will know, and we will have the faces.
And to be 100% honest with you, Chris, this is going to be an expensive project, and we are tentatively, and there's kind of an ethical question here. Okay. We're thinking about providing the government with our full 3D. Grandma face database.
Now hold on, stop. Chris, give us a second. Nick, we didn't talk about that like at all.
I don't know where you thought the budget for this game was going to come from exactly, or
I thought we would take it to the Patreon.
We're going to Patreon half of it, but obviously this a significant portion of this budget is going to be government bankrolled.
Jesus. Okay. I guess
I was going to bring up a point. I think parents and grandparents, you know, you get a little older, you get a little more worried about Big Brother watching, you know, and I think you're going to have a problem with
a
grandmas
bit,
getting scanned. And then if you're selling it to Uncle Sam, grandmas are definitely
counterpoint to that. We are going to have probably the strongest sales pitch. This is going to be a game for everybody. Again, we've addressed this. It's got the genre everybody craves, but between like the four or five different genres you got, there's going to be something in there for everybody. We're also marketing it to people of all ages because as kids, it's going to have really good graphics, and you're going to like if you don't want to get left behind. All your friends are going to be playing this game talking about how great these graphics are at school, and you don't want to be the only person not experiencing these, again, these great, great graphics. Mm-hmm. For the grandmas, we're going to market them with special stickers on the box that says, this game will guarantee you at least one hang sesh with your grandkids, because they got to scan your face in to begin to access the content of the game.
I think that's a good point, yeah. There's a lot that grandparents, I think, despite their general paranoia about computers and the technologies.
Yeah. It's like every grandma's got a Facebook now so that they can stay in touch with their grandkids and see like what they're up to.
And $60. Basically, Mark Zuckerberg's already selling all your data to the government. So you're not really doing anything different.
No.
Yeah. Right. I could get on my computer in like 20 keystrokes. I could get a picture of anybody's grandma's face like in the world. In the world.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Chris, you know the shape and scope of our project now, and I'm curious just to like gut check before we get to the review score, like I guess just sort of like general improvements. And again, this ship has already kind of sailed. This thing's already kind of in motion.
Good, if you want to help us tweak it in one way or another, like just feedback, I guess.
I just want to make sure that Polygon's name and branding isn't anywhere on the product.
No, this this is strictly a Nintendo's Game Boy's project.
Okay. And also wanted to see if you guys have any ideas for an elevator pitch, because that elevator pitch took about 10 minutes.
We'll condense it.
I mean, that's a long elevator ride. Do you have one that is like maybe like a 10-story elevator ride, which is 30 seconds?
How about this?
Okay, Nick, you take a stab at it.
How about this? Grandma wants it al dente. There you go.
I think that's the problem with that is that's the title of the game.
It's not even the full title of the game.
Yeah, so
it's half of the title.
If you were to say like Spelunky meets Cooking Mama meets Ultima Underworld.
Meets a 3D scanned image of your mom's mom or your dad's mom.
Meets actual government surveillance.
Meets.
M-E-A-T-S.
Meets. Okay. All right. You start to get a little bit of an elevator pitch that I think you could use not only when trying to get in front of other investors, like President Barack Obama.
For example,
Steam Greenlight, the Steam Greenlight platform. You want to get it on there, and you want to be able to tell people who are busy, right? They've got other games to not greenlight. and they want to get in and out of your game without greenlighting as quickly as possible. So I think you need to give them an elevator pitch.
It sounds to me, just based on your feedback, the content of the game that we have pitched you is like perfect.
Here's what we know about Steam.
A little bow around
it. If you make a game that has some survival elements and some roguelike elements and you put it on Steam, you're gonna make money.
We're gonna be billionaires.
Doesn't matter if the game even works or not. It's gonna hit the top sellers for at least a day.
That's a really good point that I think we didn't address, which is this is early access bait.
Oh yeah, the game's not gonna work very well at all.
No.
It's gonna look great while just failing on like every other sort of conceptual level.
I think you can also play that up a little bit, right? Like, sandbox, emergent gameplay. This is, we don't know what's happening because we built a simulator. We built a world.
Yeah, so we can get this thing live by Q4 2016. Okay. We'll get this thing up on Greenlight. But I want you to fast forward. It's Q2 2018, and we've had time to get the kinks out. The only thing that's not working so well is the smart glass functionality. We're still sort of doing that, but it's rudimentary, but it works. But like the sort of the core meat of the game is totally there, and it's all working, and it all looks fucking stellar, and your grandma's face is in the game, or somebody else's grandma's face is in the game. Review score. You're writing up the review for Polygon. First of all, I want to know like what the main sort of like theme of the review is going to be, and then of course the score out of 10.
Yeah, like give me the opening line of the review.
Opening line is disclosure.
All right, good.
Colon,
probably wise.
My two former coworkers, employed.
Just underline former there, because if this fucking rocket takes off, you better believe I am gluing myself to it and leaving the Polygon Earth.
The second line would probably be something like, if you're like me, the elevator pitch for al dente, your grandma likes it al dente, colon, your grandma needs it al dente, by game designer Ken Levine, a.k.a. Albert Dente. If you're like me, the elevator pitch probably didn't make a lot of sense. So,
that's a little inside. I don't want
to allow me to explain, and then I would go into about a 17 or 18 paragraph explanation of the game.
Sure, but right now I'm going to kind of criticism your criticism.
Sure.
I'm going to kind of consult on your consulting.
Sure.
That's really inside baseball, and I feel like it's not going to serve as like the general readership.
I agree with you, Griffin. However, if Chris was really able to consolidate all the ideas we had down to only 17 paragraphs, I would love it if we could maybe incorporate that in the box. You know how, like,
yeah,
sometimes you'll have a quote from a reviewer on the box? I would love to have his entire summary of our game on the back of the box in quotation marks.
No, and that's great. That is the definition of service journalism, mm-hmm. except for the creator of the thing you're criticizing.
Right.
What I was hoping for was like, this game made me rethink grandmas or something like that. Or the graphics in this game are very good.
Our frothing demand increases or something.
So like for me, the ideal lead would have been, let me tell you about a video game with very good graphics. It is called, and then the title of the game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like this particular fish is going to slip through our net, Nick. But I'm pretty confident that every other review is going to lead with, hot damn, these graphics, though.
I mean, are we talking Unreal Engine like 5 or?
We can't really go into it now. It's id Tech 6.
Oh.
No, that's the name of our engine. It's our proprietary engine that we've named id Tech yeah. 6.
Oh, huh. Okay.
It's actually id Tech 6, and it's like I apostrophe.
Oh, I see. It's a contraction.
Yeah. And then score, of course, out of 10. And there is a right answer, please.
Out of 10. Okay.
Yeah. And none of this, like, you can do 0.5s if you need to, I guess. But none of this, like, 0.75 bullshit.
Here's what I would say.
Yeah.
I think tentatively right now, because of the bugs.
10. I heard 10.
Because of the bugs.
Thank you so much for your time, Chris.
No. Not because of the bugs. Did you not fucking hear what I said? It's Q2 2018. We've polished this thing.
Okay. It's polished. So the bugs work. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think our Q4 2016 provisional review that we put up.
It's not going to be great.
Which was,
I know.
It was 2 out of 10, guys. Real low.
No, fucking no way. 2 out of 10?
Yeah, we gave you some points for creativity. I think Ken Levine on the box, honestly, helped a lot. Mm-hmm. So you had that. There was some question as to why you buried the Ken Levine involvement instead and went really by Albert Dente, which seemed strange. I think
we wanted it to succeed on its own merits.
Sure.
Right.
We wanted to get some of that Ken Levine heat, but not too much, because it would to continue the metaphor, it would overcook the pasta of our game creativity.
I think also the public campaign that Ken Levine wages against you at the release of the game.
Oh, things are going to sour
himself.
For sure.
I think that hurt your visibility.
But it hurt the review score. Yep. Nice objectivity.
Hey, sorry. It was just, you know, it's hard when you're in that climate. To get away from that type of criticism. I think by the time 2018 comes around, you guys have polished it up.
Yeah.
You've got Miyamoto now consulting on the game.
And we've changed his name to like like Ravioli
Spag Heady.
Larry Zanya. I think by that point you guys have earned a lot of goodwill back in the community.
And then you've talked so much, Chris, I just need that number.
It's still a 6 out of 10.
God bless it. That's I was hoping for like kind of a long tail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like starts at 2 out of 10 and then it gets bumped up to, honestly, Chris, I was really hoping for an 8.5 or above.
I think here's what I would say. I think a Polygon 6 is a good score.
Yeah, Polygon 6 is like an IGN 8.5. So
I feel like Ken's bonus was really depending on it getting more than an 8.5. So you're going to be hearing from him right away.
Yeah, a lot of people.
It sounds like we've already heard a lot from him about how bad this experience has been.
Yeah, I think the thing about you guys kidnapping, I think that was probably the thing that really soured you.
Yeah.
Most people.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping we could Stockholm it by the end of the review process.
You win some, you lose some, you know?
What can we do? Can I ask what we could do to get that extra 2.5?
I think you guys really need to focus on a couple getting more buzzwords. I think by 2018.
Son of, what the fuck?
No, here's the thing.
We got
2018.
Back in the box. Let me go through the bullet points again, because apparently you were like, got distracted by it. You saw like somebody go by on a nice bicycle outside. 31 playable pastas. Very good graphics. Put your grandma in the game. One grandma at required.
Smart Glass Connect. Leap
Smart
motion.
Glass Connect functionality. Leap motion, Sega Activator bullshit. It's in the game.
I think by the time 2018's out, we won't even have game consoles anymore. We'll all just be in VR. It's going to be 100% VR driven industry.
What makes you think that this couldn't be a VR experience?
But you guys got to talk about it. You got to lead with VR. You got to go.
The sequel
VR
will be
first.
In VR. Grandma Needs That Pasta Ascension.
I like that we've changed the title. We did take Chris's advice that Al Dente was a little too inside pasta ball, and we changed it to Grandma Needs That Pasta.
Yeah,
I really dumbed
it down. Carolina needs that pasta ascension.
All the hardcore fans are going to be like, they made this really mainstream. They dumbed it down. They took out all the RPG mechanics. The word al dente doesn't appear once in the game.
I think the hardcore roguelike Italian indie gaming scene, the al dente series is going to be very popular. But I think if you're looking for a global audience, you want to sort of generify that name. So I think Grammy Needs That Pasta is going to do much better in the rest of Europe, in North America.
I'm not so sure, because it's important that we talk about the cookedness of the pasta. Like, Grandma needs that sticky firm pasta.
Right, that's how you get the fucking risk reward mechanic. It's like you missed the entire point of the art. And now I get it. Like, now I get it.
That's video
game developers,
man.
Every time you've, like, if you've ever said something mean about a review before, like, I get it now.
Yeah.
Because it's fucking pearls before swine right now. Chris, thanks for coming on the show, but you're a swine and these are our pearls. And you just haven't appreciated them, I guess.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. I feel like you did a good job. Speaking wise, critically.
Right.
But everything you said went right into the microphone and you recorded it all.
I think the levels are going to be really great, but the content of your words were just absolute garbage.
Great. So I look forward to seeing you guys on
Twitter. I guess not your words. Like, your words were fine, but like the thoughts and like the criticism that like formed those words, like your brain.
My thoughts.
Yeah.
The electrical impulses that occupy me as a human.
Right. The mm-hmm. words were great. The thoughts were terrible.
Because I don't want to throw, and maybe this is what Griffin's getting at, I don't want to throw the words themselves under the bus or the people who made the words, because all those words are fine.
Yeah. It's just like when you put them all together, the thoughts that they form fucking suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they've basically ruined my day and ruined the pilot episode of the podcast that Nick and I have been working on really hard.
Well, I'm proud of you guys. I think the podcast at least is going to be a big hit.
Cool. We'll let you know next time we're like making something that you can ruin. Like when we come up with a new idea that you can just shit all over with your negativity.
I still think a 6 is a great score.
All right. And there you have it.
I think a 6 is a great score, this fucking guy.
Nick, that was a good first episode. Still haven't thought of a name of the podcast, but I'm honestly, the wind has been so completely taken out of my sails that I don't know that I want to continue doing this. So like, I'll try and like get over this when we do the second episode.
Polygon Game Club.
You're not...
Stop.
Like, you just... Like, you... We had a good 26 minutes of you ruining stuff there for a bit, and you just wanted to get, like... And you just wanted to tack an extra one on there. Yeah, Polygon Game Club?
How about instead of... Maybe it's like Shark Tank, but instead of Shark Tank, it's like...
If you fucking say Game Tank, this is the last time we're ever talking.
I kind of like Game Tank.
Shit.